Morning, everyone. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at the rebellion, Carth's rebellion, in this week's Edra, because if you read through, read through quickly, you might think it's quite a straightforward thing. You know, Korach, a bunch of other people, start a rebellion, but it's far, it's far from straightforward. And I want to sort of analyze it and show you something that's you might not have seen before. Now, Korach obviously starts, the parsha of Korach starts with the famous question, what does Korach take? The Sedra starts by Kach Korach, and it gives us his Yichus, okay, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kar, Ben Levi. Okay, mentions some other people who's with him, Datan Vaviram. Okay, and there's also 250 national leaders. So there's Korach, Datan Vaviram, somebody called Onben Pelet, which I won't go into today, and 250 leaders. Okay, but it never says, it doesn't say Vayikach Korach et. Okay, we expect him to say he took something. Okay, and a lot of the Mefarshim come to the rescue. They tell us, they fill in the gaps. And I'll mention those Mefarshim in a minute. But what I want to really discuss is why. Okay, fine. Okay, the Mefarshim tell us exactly what Korach took. But why? Why the Torah deliberately introduces this sugya in a very, very vague and ambiguous way. And I want to discuss why does it say Vayikach Korach without telling us what Korach took. So just to briefly mention some highlights of the Mefarshim as to what Korach took. So Rashi says that Korach took himself. Okay, Korach took himself to one side to raise a rebellion against Moshe. But he really was broigus because Aaron had the kuhuna. Aaron and his sons had the kuhuna. Okay, were the kohanim. Okay. The Ibn Ezra says that Korach took other people, right? In the first pasuk of this week's Sedra, it mentions Datan Vaviram and 250 people. Okay, so Ibn Ezra just said he took other people with him and then started a rebellion. The Sephorno says something similar. He's just a bit more precise. The Sephorno actually says it's the 250 national leaders, okay, Anshei Hashem, as the Torah puts it. Though that's what Korach took. Now, like I mentioned, okay, fine, okay, the Mefarshim fill in the gaps, okay, but why? Like, why wouldn't it be much more straightforward if the Torah told us exactly what the intentions were, what Korach's intentions were? So, for us to really understand why that's what's going on, we need to see what Korach says, okay. So, what I'm going to do now is share my screen. All I've done is I've just put up the psukim just to make it a bit easier. Okay, one sec, that's the end, and that's the beginning. Okay, right, so, this is the third pasuk in this week's session. This is what Korach has to say for himself. Vayikalu al Moshe val Aaron. Okay, and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron, vayomru aleihem, and they said to him, Rav lachem, it's too much for you. Kichol Haida Kulam Kadoshim, because the entire congregation, all of you, is holy, Uvatochal Hashem, amongst Hashem, Umaduatit Nasu al Kahal Hashem. And why do you raise yourself up, okay, over the congregation of Hashem? Okay, so it seems to be that you say, Rav, look, it's too much for you. Okay, why are you on a pedestal? Sounds quite straightforward, but I don't think it is. What really is Korach proposing? Okay, is he saying that not happy that Moshe and Aaron are in the leader and the Kohen Gadol, and maybe somebody else should be? Are they saying simply that Moshe and Aaron are on a pedestal and that's no good? They should step down. Or is Korach saying, does Korach want that power, or is it simply Kulam Kadoshim? Okay, spiritual equality, if you like. Okay, everyone should be on a level playing field. Everyone's holy. Nobody should be higher or lower. Okay, and as we go through this sedra, we'll try and see. But you can see, certainly, just up until now, third pasuk into the sedra, it's not that clear. Not in my mind, anyway. So what happens? So Moshe responds to this complaint to Korach and says, "Fine, okay, there's going to be a ketoret test." Okay, so I think it's, here we go, right. So it says, Vaydaber el Korach, okay, ve'koladato, and he spoke to Korach and his assembly, saying, Boker, v'yoda Hashem et Asher, v'et HaKadosh v'kri v'ila. Okay, in the morning, okay, Hashem will make known, whose is his, okay, and who is his holy one, okay? And what happens is that there's a showdown where and we're going to come to it in a little bit, where Korach, it's actually the 250 people get involved, they bring a fire pan, they offer up some incense, and this test is supposed to prove, you know, to make it very transparent as to Korach's complaint. Well, that really, that Moshe and Aaron are, you know, are divine appointments, as opposed to, you know, nepotism, which is perhaps what Korach is suggesting. But even this Ketoret test doesn't really, it doesn't really prove exactly what Korach wants, because is it the case that when they bring up these the Ketoret offerings, is it that, you know, either Moshe's will be accepted, or Korach's will be accepted, or maybe everyone's will be accepted? Again, it's the same ideas. Is it spiritual equality? Is it Korach? Is it Moshe? Okay, it's not. Okay, at the moment, it's still not that clear. But then, when we move to Pasuk 8, okay, to Pasuk Chet, okay, yeah, here we go, okay, now we're beginning to get an idea, okay, Vayomer Moshe al Korach, okay, and Moshe said to Korach, Shimuna b'nei Levi, okay, listen here, sons of Levi, okay, so, okay, the reference to b'nei Levi, okay, Korach is, after all, Moshe's cousin, okay, first cousin, and we're getting an idea what it is Korach is bothered about. Okay, Hamaat Mikem, is it not enough? Ki hivdil elokei Yisrael etchem me'adat Yisrael. Okay, that Hashem of Israel has distinguished you from the congregation of Israel, to draw you near to Him. Okay, la'avod et avodah mishkan Hashem. Okay, to perform the avodah in the mishkan. Right, they Korach was already a Levi. Okay, what are you complaining about? Okay, if I crave for chavet kol achecha, okay, he drew you near and all your brothers. Okay, uvik Hashem gam kuhuna. Now you seek the kuhuna. Fine. Okay, and then in Yudalev he's saying, well, what's your problem? What's your problem with Aaron? Okay, so it seems to be that Korach is seeking the kuhuna. Okay, he Vikashem Gam Kuna. So that's what seems to be happening. Okay. Now, up until now, there is a glaring omission. Okay. In the first pasuk, we mentioned Korach, we mentioned the 250 people, okay, and they take part in this Ketoret test. Okay, two big characters that we haven't mentioned so far is Datan and Aviram, and they've gone AWOL temporarily. Okay. Now, so this Ketoret test can prove, okay, that Moshe and Aaron are in the positions they should be, okay? So this showdown is about to take place, right? So Datan and Aviram need to be involved, okay? So here we go, pass it your bet. Vayishlach Moshe, okay, and Moshe sent, Likrola Datan ben Eli, he sent for Datan and Aviram, Vayom, what do they say? Lo Nale, okay, no, we're not coming up, what's going on? Okay, don't they want to be part of this? Okay, Hamaat ki helitanu eretz avat chalash. Is it not enough that you brought us out of a land flowing of milk and honey, lahamitein b'amela, to die in the desert? Okay, ki tisareilu gam histare. Okay, that you should lord yourself over us. Okay, they're not interested. Okay. So here, nothing to do with the kohanim. It seems Datan v'Aviram is a personal attack against Moshe. Okay, we know from last week's sefer from the Chet HaMeraglim that they were destined to wander the desert for 40 years, okay, and they're blaming that on Moshe, okay? Okay, they're challenging his, it's a personal attack against Moshe, okay? And they say again, so what we see, okay, is we've got two different groups, actually. It's not one rebellion, really, okay? Got two different groups. We've got, I'm not going to place where Korach is at the moment because we see that's not that clear, but we've certainly got one group where they are challenging the Kohana, challenging Aaron's mission on the Kohana, and we've got one group who's challenging Moshe. So I think, here we go. So here I've summarized it. So you've got group one is the 250 men, okay, right, who are going to take place in this Ketoret test. Their complaint is against Aaron, that's against the Kohuna. Okay, this is taking place in the Ol Moed. And group two is with Datan and Aviram, who Moshe called to come for, you know, for this Ketoret test. They weren't interested, not interested in listening to anything Moshe has to say, law not there, okay? And that's, you know, that seems to be challenging Moshe's leadership. What's interesting is that that even though Korach, on a pshat level, he is stationed in group one at the moment, but group two is also later in the seder referred to as Mishkan Korach Datan Vaviram. Okay, it has the name, Korach's name appears in their group. Okay, we're beginning to see there's two groups, and even though Korach stations in group one, he seems to be involved with group two as well. Now, further proof that Datan and Aviram it's a personal attack on Moshe rather than the Kohuna is in following the very next pasuk. Okay, Vayicha Moshe. Okay, Moshe was really upset. Vayomer Hashem, and he said to Hashem, "I'll take an imachah. Don't turn to, to their minchatam, to their offering." Okay, there's a discussion exactly what that is, but I'm not going to go into that now. Lo chamo echad mehem nasaydi velo harei oti et achad bahem. Well, I've not taken a donkey, a single one of them. Okay, I've not harmed you. I've done nothing wrong to Datan and Aviram. Right, so it's clearly, okay, he's obviously very upset. Okay, Datan and Aviram have clearly challenged Moshe himself. So we see these two groups forming. I'm not going to read this inside, but this is basically gives details of what's going to happen with the Ketoret test. Like I mentioned, they're going to each bring a fire pan, they're going to have some incense, and it's just the details. And now we went to talk. We went from group one to group two with Datan Aviram. Now we've gone back to the group one, the Ketoret test. And it's literally left you on a cliffhanger, just as we're expecting. Right, so let's see what's going to happen with this Ketoret test. Okay, is Korach going to get his comeuppance? Okay, we're literally about to. Okay, we're going to see what's going to happen. No, something else completely different happens. We got an interruption. Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe v'Aaron le'mor. Okay, and Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, okay, hibadlu mitoch ha'idah hazot v'achaleh otam korach. Okay, well, disassociate yourself from this congregation. I'm going to destroy them in an instant. Okay, so suddenly now, well, no Ketoret test. Okay, everyone's going to be destroyed. The question is who? Okay, so if you look at the bottom of Kaf Dalet, it seems to be group two, Datan Aviram. It says Daber El Hai Dalet Mohe Alu Misaviv. Okay, speak to the congregation saying, "Hey, hello, Mr. Get yourself up from around Mishkan Datan Aviram, because I'm going to destroy you. It seems, hey, get yourself away from the Datan and Aviram group, okay? Because I'm going to destroy them, okay?" So what we see, is that we've clearly got these two groups, okay. And what seems to happen is that if you hadn't been convinced by me already, there's two different groups. Well, how about this? There's two different punishments to the two different groups. We talk about an earthquake, okay? And that's quite familiar. The ground opens up. It's not just that, okay? Pasuk lamed bay vativtach haaretz et piha, okay? And the ground opened up its mouth. Vativla otam bet batehem and swallowed them and their households. Ve'et kol ha'adam asher l'korach, okay? And all of the men, all of Korach's men, and all the property. Okay, so this is the Datan and Aviram group. Okay, they get swallowed up. Okay, notice it doesn't mention Korach. It says Ha'adam Asher Korach, which I'll come on to in a second. But so there's an earthquake for group two. That's how they go. And Lamed Hey, Ve'esh Yatsa Me'et Hashem Vatochal Et Hachamishim Matayim. And the fire came up from Hashem and consumed the 250 men who were about to offer incense. So there's two different punishments. Notice in these pesukim, no mention of Korach himself. Doesn't say how Korach died. Okay, so this is the summary. Okay, I'll just try and wrap this up. So we've got two different groups, like I showed you before, two different punishments. What's And just to give you an idea of the overall picture of how the Sedra has been going, right? It's been a zigzag. You've got, it talks about the group one, it then moves on to Datanavim, group two, goes back to group one. It's a whole zigzag that's going on. To make things even more complicated, if you look elsewhere, like Parsha Pinchas, okay, run out, I won't read it inside, but Parsha Pinchas basically says that Korach, here it says, it actually says in Parsha Pinchas that Korach died in the earthquake. But in Parsha Akev, it just mentions Datan and Avirim, it doesn't mention Korach. Okay, so very, very confusing. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin said he actually died both punishments. Okay, he got burnt by the fire, which is group one's punishment, and he rolled over, and then he got swallowed by the earthquake. So let's come back to, I was just going to wrap up. Okay, so let's come back to the, okay, so I think that's finished with sharing. Okay, let's come back to this whole thing, this zigzag that I've tried to, you know, that I've tried to illustrate to you, but also on a Peshat level, it never says how Korach dies. Okay, the Gemara tells us, but it doesn't say on a Peshat level. So what's the answer to this? Why, let me go back to my original question. Why does it say by Kach Korach in that way? Okay, and I think it's very important. That is teaching us a lot about exactly who Korach was. Okay, one could, you could suggest that Celebrate is deliberately being vague, okay, because it wants us to ask the question as to what Korach took. What was his agenda? Okay, and what have we learned? That Korach took two ostensibly legitimate protest groups, and he joined them together only to promote his own, for his own self-interest, his own power base. Maybe on their own, okay, the guys who were challenging the Kahuna, the guys who just didn't like Moshe, maybe on their own, they wouldn't have taken action. But because the Sedra starts by Korach, maybe Korach was the driving force that caused them to take action. Effectively, Korach was just a politician. Okay, maybe fancied his chances of being the leader, and he rallied these two groups to try and bring that to fruition. But what's clear is he did not care about these groups whatsoever. Not really. Okay, in Pirkei Avot, which is, I think it's next week, I think it's Perek Hay, it's Perek Dalet this week, Perek Hay is next week, next Shabbos afternoon we'll read. Okay, we read about the paradigm for a machloket min ha-shamayim and lo min ha-shamayim. And as we know, the paradigm for a machloket lo l'shem shamayim is Korach v'adato, okay, Korach and his assembly. Now, why is it this particular argument? Yeah, you could argue that maybe Korach's intention was to change the mind. If you, okay, he says, "Oh yeah, I want spiritual equality. Okay, I want everyone's holy." But really, that's, you know, that's not really what Korach's intentions were. Okay, he used that, okay, because he's just trying to rally these groups to make them feel that he cares about them, but he didn't really care about them. Okay. And also, if you think about what's the machoket min ha-shamayim, Hillel v'shama. Hillel one side, Shama the other side. Okay. Two clear sides arguing to know what the truth is. Whereas what's the other side? It doesn't say Korach v'Aaron v'Moshe. It says Korach v'Adato, Korach and his congregation and who? There is no other side. That's because Korach doesn't really know what he's arguing about. Okay, he just wanted to cause trouble. And I think it teaches us that to examine our own motivations, never to fall in the trap of self-interest like Korach did, to ensure that when we have an argument on spiritual endeavors, that it is l'shem shamayim, that we even though we can convince ourselves we're arguing l'shem shamayim, sometimes, you know, it's not always. Anyway, so that's just a little taste of Korach. Much more to be said, but I wanted to keep it within 15 minutes, even though I'm slightly over. Okay, Shabbos.
A bunch of